You understand that principle that if we move in faith, God highlights somebody. It's like a prophecy. You highlight somebody with a word, and you hear that prophecy and go, I wish they were saying that to me. Well, then they are. Well, I wish that was happening to my son. Well, then it is. I wish somebody would step in that kind of clarity in their life. Then it will. Do you follow me? Because we agree, we touch, and then once it happens for one, it happens for all. The woman with the issue of the blood who couldn't stop bleeding and for 14 years had tried to get free, and finally she'd heard enough about Jesus that there was a healing ministry that he carried, and he was a mantle, a rabbi, even though it was totally outside of the law for her to be in public, let alone touch a rabbi, which would be a double doubles. She had faith that she felt that if I but touch this garment of his, just the outside of his garment, if I just touch his robe, I'll be healed. And so she got the courage to press through that day. And that day was an especially crowded moment because Jairus, who was a ruler of a synagogue, who was one of the leaders of a house of prayer, a house of worship center, had come with a desperate cry for his daughter who was at the point of death, and Jesus had left to go to Jairus' house. So this was like an ecumenical moment, and it was a move. It was large, and the disciples were moving with Jesus through the crowd, helping him continue with Jairus into the future of, you know, for Jairus' daughter's healing. Then comes the woman pressing through the crowd and the bodyguards and presses in and touches Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus goes and stops because unbeknownst to his natural man, his soul, or the Father's wishes, or he was not aware of, all of a sudden he becomes aware that virtue, life, comes out of him. And so turns around and he says, who touched me? And you know the story. Peter said, well, what do you mean who touched you? Really, everybody's touching you. We're trying to best keep you free from being touched, but we're just a big crowd. And he said, no. Somebody touched me. I felt virtue leave me. Somebody pulled something out of me. And so finally the woman, knowing that what had happened, she just says, he came down and just knelt before him and said, this is the whole story. And that's why we have it in the Bible, the whole story. 14 years, I started with an issue of bleeding and couldn't stop. I went to this doctor, that doctor, this doctor, that doctor. Jairus is sitting there going, yeah, would you please hurry up? My daughter's about to die. And so there's always tension. There's always tension in the miracle moment in all of our lives. There's always somebody's in the way, somebody's pressing through the way, we've got a need, we're wishing our need get met, somebody get jumped on the line. But what happens, and for Jairus, it was really an ill-timed miracle for him because while this delay is taking place and just about the time she's finished her testimony and Jesus is telling her, go ahead, go home, your faith made you well. The people from Jairus' house show up and they say, don't bother the master, don't bother Jesus any longer. Your daughter's dead. So one got a miracle, the other lost a miracle. And yet Jesus then focuses right in Jairus and looks at him and says, don't be afraid, only believe. And then he shuts this entire parade down. He takes Peter, James, and John, Jairus, and he just goes. And now everybody stops because it's a movement of God, intentionality. And Jairus' daughter is now raised from the dead, so it's a glorious moment. The cool thing was that after the story of the woman with the issue of blood gets out, people from all around began to find that if you touch Jesus in faith, you could be healed. And it starts to record that people all around moved just to get a touch of Jesus and they could get it. Because one woman had faith to believe that she could find what she needed if she could just touch Jesus. And once she broke through and that story went out, faith rose and multitudes of people broke through and found their faith. That's what these moments, that's why we gather together, because we don't know who's Jairus in this crowd today. And we don't know who's the woman with the issue of the blood. We don't know who's the moment where Jesus will break through and grab us by the hand and say, come with me, let's go, we're on assignment. Or someone will break into that moment of the parade and say, I've got to get a hold of the Lord and grab him. Could be you. Could be any one of us today. It's just powerful. Kathy, that was, and Mac, but Kathy, that was just a dynamic teaching this morning. You did a terrific job. And the four cups, I took, borrowed a pen from Marilyn and wrote it all inside of my Bible. So every time I go to Exodus 6, I can see the four cups of, you know, which was salvation and deliverance, destiny and presence. And it was powerful. And I saw the Lord say to me, or he said to me over you, Kathy, that you are going to begin to have the most fun time in your life in Jesus. You are going to be having so much fun that you're going to scare yourself. You're going to have those moments of, well, is this okay? And yet, you know, the Lord's just going to keep pulling you, because this is your season of rejoicing. And the joy is going to break forth, and it's going to release joy to countless others. And he's just so pleased with you. Thank you, Jesus. And Shane, the Lord told me that you are one of his favorite sons, that he delights in how you have found him and sought him and honor him and desire to do his will, and that he is going to bless your marriage, your union, your future, and that you're going to bring many young men and your wife, and young women forward into the faith and into the destinies. And God is going to favor you greatly, and it's going to be heard that others will hear how God has favored Shane. And when they hear of that, they'll start to consider again the God that they maybe forgot or have wondered if he is that kind of a God. They'll say, Shane? God's doing this for Shane? And it will become a faith building, and it'll become a signpost. You are going to be a signpost that will attract people to Jesus Christ. And he's doing it for you now, and it's going to bless your marriage. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Jesus is here for each one of us. Every one of us in this room, if I could take the time, but you don't have the time, and I don't probably have the strength, I could prophesy over every single one of you. There's destiny. Yeah, right. That wasn't meant to elicit that. I was meant for you to get a hold of Jesus and let him prophesy to you. Because trust me, by the end of the 300th person, I would be gone and you would all be tired. And the chances are that not everybody would wait for the 300th person. We'd get our word and go home. And it's not the way God's doing things right now. I'll tell you a prophetic word. I mean, all I hear is prophetic words these days. You ask Cammie, I live in a world of, thank God for the world I live in. I live in the realm of his spirit and his love and his embrace and the land of promise and the King Father's land. It's a beautiful place. I heard the Lord say while we were worshiping, he said, tell everybody, get ready. A love bomb is about to go off in this house. And Pat, Kathy touched on it, but it really is a prophetic time bomb that's going to go off. And you're going to go loving people that you don't even like. You're going to act so, you know, if you've ever been inside of his, that moment where we corporately hit the glory and you feel that glory and the cares of the world lift and the struggles and the troubles and all that pressure comes off and hurts and wounds and offenses seem to just kind of melt away and wash away. You get in those moments, everything looks different. And everybody is attractive. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody is someone you want to give a hug for. It's just, there are moments like that that you realize that that's not me loving. This is the love that's coming. It's not you loving. It's not me commanding you. Everybody, shame on you for not loving enough. Start loving more. That's not even love. That's like, I don't know what it is, but it's not love. Love of God is a love that's shed abroad in our heart, that wrecks us from all of self-consciousness and fear and the wounding and the troubles and the struggles. And it just envelops us. It envelops us so that we don't know what to do with what we've been doing, because our old mindset now no longer works, because the new mindset is, I am whole, I'm healed. What am I going to worry about? Where am I going to go? And the love pours further and further until it starts going out of you. And that kind of a love is a liberating love. It's like, it's Jesus' love. It's the love that he has ordained to come through his body, his love. Yes, we yield to it. Yes, we have to be, willing. But a lot of times, here's the deal. Many of you have loved beyond your ability to love. You've spent yourself in love. And Paul says, and the truth is, the more you love, the less you'll be loved. And as a father lays up treasures for his children, and the more you love, the less you love, that you will end up at times where you're just out of love. You ever been out of love? It usually shows up in frustration, anger, cursing. You love beyond your ability to love. You will love. You choose love with your will. You embark on a love decision because you willed it. You know it's the right thing to do. But halfway through the journey of the love, you run out of love. Right? You ever had that happen? Anybody run out of love here? Okay, I got a prophecy for us. Here we go. Lift up your hands. This is a gift. This is not a to-do thing. So, dear Father, we welcome the love bomb inside of us. We welcome the glory of God that not only would love us and allow love to flow toward every place we've committed love to already, but it would go beyond that. It would be a river. Your love would be a river. It would be a river that you would swim in, play in, dance in. It would not be something you would have to be responsible for or carry. You would just be in the flow of the river. So a river of love would flow out of each one of us, picking us both up, first up. First you'd be picked up and floating in the river of love. And then it would be easy to let others come into that river and let that splash, 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 river, flow. Lord God, Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, you're the one who does this. Jesus' name, I declare and decree love of God poured into our hearts by Holy Spirit. Accordingly, proportionately to the trials, testings, and faith, grace, and all of that we have been in and walked through, come. Now let His love come. Let His love come. There's some of us that we are so ready for a baptismal love. We're like a desert. And he wants to make us a rainforest. And you've done well. Jesus wants you to know you've done well. But nobody can do Jesus. Only Jesus can do Jesus. But when Jesus becomes enlivened, and we see him, and he becomes revealed in us, then all of Jesus starts to live through us. And though we're crucified with Christ, we live, but yet not us, but Christ lives. And that's what's coming for you, for me. For all of us, Christ living in us, love. You'll love the person at the restaurant. You'll love the teller that's slow. You'll love the cars that are driving by you. You'll love the neighbor that has more money than you. You'll just love. It isn't love that your will can carry. It's love. It's the God's love that is gave, and it's just a flowing love. Come on, I want more love, Daddy. Daddy, more. Whoa. Okay, thank you. You can be stand up for a minute, everybody. Are you okay with this? I'm just going to flow with where God's going. I'm going to teach. When I was in Thailand, the Lord said, kept taking me to Song of Solomon and says, there's a lot you could understand about the life of an intercessor in faith or life of a praying person in partnership with Jesus in the Song of Solomon. So this week I started listening and looking, and he said, and there is, and I'm going to do that the next two Wednesdays at 7, and I'll do some practical aspects of it at the 6 o'clock so you can have techniques of to practice about the Song of Solomon as a intercessor's guide to partnering with Jesus. But what I saw and why I wanted you to stand up and why I wanted to even say that is that you have to understand that in Jesus, you were never meant to carry out what you committed to. You respond, and then you will run out of you. And then that's where God begins to come to us. But we live in a culture that is not allowing Jesus to come in. It's requiring people to be what Jesus only can be. So we then get stuck. We get in shame. We get in reproach. We get into sorrow. We get in justification. We get in offense. We get into, you know, control. We come up with, not because we want to be, it's just we have no other course to be in. And Jesus just wants to prophesy to you right now, everyone in this room and everyone on the internet. And he says to you, you're doing good. You're taking hold of me and you're following me, and that's all I've ever asked you to do. You can't do what I started to do in you. I will finish what I started in you. And today, I begin anew to finish what I started in you. I begin anew. I quicken, I awaken, I activate. You are my son, my daughter, my body. And today, I begin anew what I began in you to finish in you. You will not be deserted. You will not be run out of gas on the highway of life. You will complete what I started in you. I do not lose my sons and daughters. No one takes you from my hand. My Father, no one takes you from my Father's hand. I begin anew what I started in you to finish in you right now, this day. This day, Lord. This day, yes, Lord, thank you. That's for everybody, everyone, everyone, no matter. You need more love for your marriage, you need more love for yourself, you need more love for your kids, you need more love for your country, it's here. Just pull and drink and allow love to flood, 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 flood. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we're here corporately because we can't walk without you and we can't walk without each other. And together, something wonderful happens. When you're with us and we're with each other, something glorious happens. I declare and decree the glory that you had, Jesus, with the Father from the beginning of the time, and the love that you shared with the Father from the beginning of time is now manifest in the midst of everyone here, taking hold of us, carrying us, and going home with us. An activation, this love bomb that you have spoken of, that is an explosion of love that goes sideways as well as vertically up and back and down, that it will liberate countless people, beginning with us. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we decree, we receive, and we welcome the love of God being poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Yes. All right, turn around and love somebody. Release the love of God. That's just an act of faith. Release the love of God. Let it, let the love. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Watch. That's good. I can feel it. Oh, good. This is good. Let's see. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, everybody's coming alive. I like that. Everybody's coming alive. Paul in Galatians, let me just get a couple of these verses out because faith comes by hearing the word of God. There's the prophetic, and we want that to flow freely, and then we want the logos and the rhema to kind of hold us in our place. And Paul said, this was a man running in one course who got interrupted by Jesus and then ran in the course he was set from the foundation of the world to run in. And he says that Verse 13 of Galatians 1, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. I tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Paul says that he was in a misguided zeal that was resulting in persecuting God's church, but when it pleased God to reveal his son in him, then he was able to turn his direction back toward the son. But the cool thing is that it says he had been separated from his mother's womb and called through grace to preach the gospel to and among the Gentiles. The only thing lacking was the revelation of Jesus Christ. The only thing he had not had happen till that point is that God had not revealed Jesus to him. So we can conclude, because he is the example, he, in his own words in 1 Timothy, he is the example for all of us of the grace of God and the power of salvation and the intent of God to save, is that every one of us have been separated before we were born for a cause and a purpose greater than we probably are up to. You know, we have an intention out. Heaven has a plan with you. You are vital. And so when I said Jesus is ready to meet us, the greatest encounter you'll ever have is the one with Jesus Christ yourself, your face-to-face moment of discovery. Paul's encounter in Acts 26, he shares his story. He shares it three times, two times as a testimony, one times as we hear it as it unfolded, which is coming and now is the new model or renewed model of conversion. And what the Lord said this week is he wanted to upgrade our conversions. How many have been converted? That's like being saved. Put your faith in Jesus. You had an encounter. You can think back. There was a time when you began, you were going this way and you started going that way. What happened there was an element of repentance, an element of turning or conversion, an element of sins being blotted out, remitted, forgiven, and an element of a sense of direction and purpose. And it happened, it could happen over series of months and weeks, it could happen in a moment, it continues to happen for an entire lifetime, it never goes away. Paul's account of his testimony of his turning, his conversion, is more brilliant in Acts 26 and it is in Acts 22, which is about 2-3 years later, and it's more brilliant in Acts 22 than it is when it happened to him in Acts chapter 9. So the story of that is, inside of you, when Jesus was revealed, the initial revelation that brought you in a journey toward him, that is a continual unfolding light of God. It may at times, the circumstances of life will crowd it out so you feel like all there is just a little light shining dimly in a dark place. And you don't have that sense of, you know, fullness, enthusiasm, and like we talked about, that kind of love of the glory. You're just barely holding that little light. But that's okay, because that's part of the journey, is always to come to the end of yourself so God can come into you in a whole nother level. But that, within that light of Christ, is the entire future of eternity in you. In you. There's not even like, oh, but that was when I was single and I wasn't married and now I'm old and I'm divorced. How can it still be true? Oh, come on. My daddy is so brilliant. Nothing, 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 nothing has happened to you that didn't surprise him. Or did surprise him, that's right. I think if anything, he's surprised when we believe him for a little longer. I'll use a figurative language for a point. There's the kingdom of darkness that has been defeated on the earth, and yet it is still functioning. It's through fear and lust, Satan, who had usurped it through Adam and ruled it up until Jesus, now has been dethroned and his power taken from him. But he, like other terrorist organizations, is not yielded to authority. He continues to usurp the authority by finding two ways, basically. He finds unbelieving others who are yet to yield to the kingdom of light, and he uses their placement on the planet as a way to access their authority. He borrows that, and the believers who have not, who he cowers and he destroys us to a point where he usurps our authority. And so, the kingdom of darkness is still functioning in a quite strong way, probably worse than it was at first century, second, third century. The second heavens, you know, it's just got a mess. And our traditions, our unbelief, and we've been kind of mindset it out. But there's an awakening of Jesus Christ inside of the church. Now this kingdom, if you could think about it in your lifetime, you're walking through life, you were born into this kingdom through the virtue of Jesus, Adam's sin. And you were conceived in sin, yet you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God had a plan for you, yet you were born into the earth. And nobody had to teach you to sin. Right? I don't take my little grandson's 10 months old and say, Noah, I want to teach you now how to sin. I want to teach you how to have a temper tantrum. No, our dispositions may be more toward this, more toward that, toward this, but we have a fearful, selfish awareness that will carry us into that stream for a long time. Jesus, on the other hand, is the kingdom of light, overcame the kingdom of darkness. He carries within himself redemption, salvation. We are his inheritance. There's beauty, there's purpose, and once we have accept who he is, we step right into who he is. And our who he is and who we are was decided way back there in the foundation of the world. That's why, and here's the thing. We will, in our life, go back and forth in residency. Not by choice. I don't think anybody goes, wow, this is so good, the abundant life. I think I go try sinning a little bit. No, we get sucked in. We get discouraged. We get offended. We run out of gas. We can't keep our commitments. Here's the good news. We're going to do a conference during Tabernacles. We're going to call it Highway 35, after Isaiah 35. And here's the good news. Everybody on the highway of holiness is the ransomed of the Lord. That means everybody got in trouble. Covenant is what calls you out of your captivity because you have a kinsman redeemer. It isn't what keeps you. It's this mindset that says, knowing the Lord was meant that I would only increase in perfection, therefore I would never experience suffering and trouble. That makes us live a mindset of the way you can live there is to have a hypocrisy mindset. And yet, when we are a people that can be liberated from the captivity we fall into, we just come right back into the kingdom, right where we were supposed to be, right where we always have been in Christ. As history moves forward, Christ moves history forward, we're in Christ. That's why I don't care if you wander for 10 years or 20 years or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, as soon as you return, it's boom. Here I am. Amen? Am I telling you the truth? Isn't that the Bible? If it's the Bible, then we can step out of sorrow, regret, fear, anxiousness, and we can step really back into this place of God. And it's like, wow, this is why the news is so good. Now, Paul, in Acts 26, he shares that a light kept blinded him in this kingdom of darkness. He was pursuing God in zeal, integrity, but he was killing Christians. And Jesus said, you're persecuting me. He came out of that with an assignment to open the eyes of the blind, to turn them from the power, from light, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, and to grant them for they would receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified. That's the essence of the four cups right there. That's the full enchilada of what comes with salvation. The blotting out of sin, the inheritance, the complete liberation from the power of darkness. All of that. And then he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's the only verse we have time for today. Verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What Jesus wants to do inside of each one of us is to reawaken the heavenly calling, vision, intentionality of God that you have bumped into it time and again, maybe stepped out of, lost your place. Kathy said something very wonderful. She said, we went to Israel in 1986 to live there the rest of our life. We stayed there 7 weeks. And she had to deal with, wow, what had happened? Did we miss God? Did we go too soon? Did we not hold our place? No, no, no. And she said it perfectly. She said, no, it was just part of the discovery. Do you understand? You attempt to secure a victory and you fail miserably. Isn't because you did it at the wrong time. It's just you didn't secure it yet. But the fact that you even moved in that direction is the sense that you have a destiny of securing that victory. Even if you had it happen 100 times, you failed. It's still God's destiny that you would be a liberator in that area, and that's why the battle so fierce. So Paul's saying, and I've just stayed in this, lived my life trying to move in this encounter and letting this encounter grow inside of me. And he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The word disobedient means to be unpersuaded. As if I was persuaded by this vision, circumstances and life can cause me to become unpersuaded by this vision. And that is a pressure against every one of us. Well, it can't be true. If it's true, this wouldn't have happened, that wouldn't have happened, this hadn't happened, that can't happen. You can't be the person, because if that you were the person, this couldn't happen, that wouldn't happen. Every cross that you're crucified on, which everyone will encounter because of the revelation, will accuse you in the cross that you're there because God has rejected you, because you've made a name for yourself, because you said you were like God, and it'll say to you, these are from the words of the bystanders and the actual words against Jesus, so that whatever Jesus heard, you're going to hear. He said he was God, let God save him. Come off from the cross and now we'll believe you. The pressure will be for you to become, to solve the problem. And if it's a God ordained journey, you're not going to solve that problem. You're just going to be under, you're going to be in that massive in craziness, and you'll feel like Jesus felt, and you say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we may succumb to that thought for a week or a month or years. We may succumb to the idea that I must have assumed something too much for myself. That's why I'm suffering. I need to back off and get a lower vision, a less dream, because evidently God didn't like me having that, and kind of back ourselves into religious thinkings and limitations. We're going to do it. You've got to experience it. How would you know it if you didn't experience it? How could you be ransomed if you didn't get in prison? How could you be redeemed if you weren't able to hold your place? Do you see where this is the theme of today? The theme of today, you ran out of love because you don't have enough love to do what you committed to. That's supposed to happen. But there's more love. Let the love come. This desire of heaven to come right now, rushing into your life and re-quickening, reawakening, re-persuading you. Some of us are so guarded right now to God because he's just tricky. You know, if he comes into your room, he'll start talking to you about life from the dead, and he'll call things that don't exist, though they will, and you won't have a vaguest idea how it's ever going to come to pass, and you'll jump into problems more. And so it's like, you know, just let me keep you predictable. We call that order. I just want... That's why I washed my feet. I'm in bed finally. It's, last time you came, I opened my life to you, I said, come on and drink of my drink. And you brought your friends with you. I'll tell you about that Wednesday. But there you are touching the latch of my heart. I'm hearing your voice, but my heart's just, I'm sleeping, but my heart's awake. We're like, we're guarded like that. It's okay. It's okay. Let God be guarded. He'll still find his way in your room. He's going to find his way in your heart because you gave your heart to him, and he loves you, and he knows where you've been through and what's occurred and the struggles and the troubles. So he's just, let me in. It's a heavenly vision. It's not concocted by your parents. It isn't dreamed up by what you watch on TV. It isn't fashioned by it. You gravitate in directions because you've been separated from your mother's womb, but it doesn't really have its sense of destiny until heaven's kind of unveiled who you are, why you are, who you are, and where you're going with who you are in Jesus. And it's like, but then hell breaks open and we lose that persuasion. Now, Abraham, when he yielded and finally came to that time where there's a set time, and God says, okay, next year you're having a son, Sarah's going to be the mom, and son, you're going to change your names and baby's going to be called Isaac. And he falls into laughter and he falls into renewal is because he really had a awareness, not of his ability, but of God's truth. And God was coming in. I'm telling you, when God comes in, you'll know he came in. When God comes alive inside of you, you'll know this is God. And he'll get you just as much trouble as he did the first time. But it's still good. It's different because it's no longer you helping create the trouble because you're more yielded. So he became fully persuaded. So he went to the point, to fully persuade means to clothe yourself with the conviction, to become so covered and clothed with the ability, with this conviction, whatever God promised he can perform, that he just said, okay, here we go. I have not a clue how we're going to do this, but here we go. But he could only have that faith after he had had the faith of, I'm going to find a way to get this done because God wants it done and we're running out of time. So, Sarah, what do you think? And, well, I can't help you, but why don't we get Hagar and we'll try to put together a plan. You do that to realize that part didn't work to come to this place. So what does all that mean? It means to you and me, and I want to close, and I want to just let God have his moment here. The room is filled with the light of God right now, and the kingdom of light, and the Holy Spirit revelatory work. He wants to quicken it inside of everyone here. Not me giving one word that everyone has to kind of find a way where they fit in it. We've been encouraged along. Right now, Jesus wants to talk to you. And he wants to come up inside of you, quickening you. He wants to appear to you. He wants to awaken you. He wants to come back alive in you. He's never not been alive in you, but Peter said it's like he wants the day to dawn and the morning star to rise. So, Diane, if you come on up, we're going to just give God permission to do that, would you? So, Lord, we just position our hearts. We've been praying this all day. Come on in. You're going to redeem us. Golly. We give you permission to do the thing we need you to do. And you know, we need you to talk to us individually as well as corporately. Jesus. I see the Lord stepping inside of you as well as sitting next to you. Whatever image that would allow you to become aware of his presence. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus can have access to every one of us simultaneously because he's God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. At the same time, you were conceived in iniquity. And so the war has been intense over both all of us. And yet Jesus is here, knocking, welcome. I welcome you, Jesus. Come inside. Come on in, please, Jesus. Go ahead, make that your prayer. I welcome you, Jesus. Come inside. Open the heart of your, the door of your heart. I don't know how to tell you to do that. It's just the core of your being. Come on in, Jesus. This is who I am. House isn't the way you want it to look. Your life isn't the way you felt it should be. Got issues you'd like to deal with. Doesn't matter. Just let him inside. Here I am. This is just who I am. Anger, hurt, fear. Doesn't matter. He's not intimidated. He's not appalled. Just let him in. Wow. Welcome. Jesus, here I am. This is me. I miss you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I don't know how to go on from where I am. Come with Jesus. What was it you started in me? Where did you find me? And as Jesus comes in, not just this moment, but through the next few weeks, he begins to shine. It was read in Isaiah 61 that no longer will the sun and the moon be our guide. God himself will become the glory, light. The sun has to go out for the Son of God to begin to shine. The moon has to grow dim before God begins to be the light at night. Right now, everyone, here on the internet, everyone, you're being given, we're being escorted, helped by angels, helped by Holy Spirit, to let go of those things that have grown dim and to take hold again of the one who never grows dim, becomes bright. And he begins to shine. There's an old song we used to sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Just say that to him. Shine, Jesus.
Shine, Jesus.
Shine inside of me, Jesus. Shine, Jesus. Shine in me, Jesus. That's what reveal means. It means just to take the cover off so it can be seen. Reveal yourself in me, Jesus. Whoa. As the light begins to be seen, it's so easy to turn from darkness to the light. And it's no longer us trying to be, it's just us responding. Come, Lord. Heal. Deliver. Redeem, establish. You become aware of his presence, and you will be in the next few weeks. In odd times of the day, intentional times, unintentional, the presence of God. You'll find yourself in the presence of him whom you believe. Like the room will turn different temperature, air will smell differently, the sights you see will be more brilliant. You're just, wow, I'm in the presence of God. God's came to where I am. He's welcoming where he is. Step in there. It's a heavenly vision that's coming alive inside of each one of us. Your conversion's being upgraded, reactivated, reignited, reinvigorated, reawakened. And it's more brilliant than what it was when you first saw it, when you were young and able, or when you were old and sure. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It never went away. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our interpretation of God is from the place we're at, but it doesn't mean that's who God is. God is eternal. Come, Lord Jesus. Say that with me. Come, Lord Jesus. Step inside of my life and reveal yourself to me. Make the heavenly vision be clear again, that I might be persuaded and hold that persuasion and stay in that persuasion in every way I know, in every way you designed, in every way you delight. Do it for me. Do it for you, for your name's sake. He's coming. He's coming for you. Breaking prisons, unlocking hearts, taking bruised, broken lives and just mending them, bringing them into himself. Never too late, never too late, never too late. Oh, oh, here he is. Oh, God, we bless you, Jesus. Worship him, would you with me? Just give him praise. Let him come. Let him come. By faith. Go ahead. Just by faith, Jesus. Come on. You have my heart now. You have my heart. Have your way. The furthest, farthest one in this room. Go ahead. Tell him, you have my heart. Have your way. Have my heart. Have your way. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. 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 Welcome. Worship. Worship. We're in a holy place. Worship. Welcome. You welcome Jesus into your heart.
Hear my voice.
send you home, but I believe the Lord said a word promise right now. That in His name, He will, for you, dismantle thoughts, emotions, and torment that would alienate you or create the sense of separation from God. And it's coming off right now in the name of Jesus. It's coming off right now in the name of Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickening, and the glory begins to be seen. And all you have to do is just kind of come and sit in His presence and watch Him. Begin to come. It's like a dawning of the day. The sun begins to kind of create a dawn, and then it begins to shine, and then it begins to get brighter and brighter. And the Lord would say to anyone and everyone here, if you would appear before Me, I will appear within you. And I will appear brighter and brighter and brighter until I eclipse, I overtake, I render powerless and ineffective all other arguments, thoughts, emotions, stories. I am writing your story. I take back your story. You give Me your story, I write your story. It's a beautiful script. I have started this thing. I will finish it. I will finish your life. I will glorify Myself. I will be seen among men. You will be an example of My victory and My triumph and My kindness. So let appear. Just appear, and I will appear until I overtake and glorify Myself in every part of you, in every promise to you, in everything I ever started. I have finished in you. In you, says the Lord. Oh, God. Our ministry team will come on up. Prayer. Available to pray. God bless you.